Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cosmere Connections. We're a bunch of book-loving nerds rereading Brandon Sanderson's Cosmere series. From book one to book 16 million, we'll be recovering every secret connection there is to find. Today, we are joined by Swiggity Swoo.
One skull, two skulls, three skulls.
John?
I'm too old to podcast with Buddy Elf. Processing.
I think you broke Reader.
I think he's froze. There he is.
Sorry, I froze. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I guess I'll have to watch the episode.
Yep.
It is
and I'm Reader Warrior.
It's John's birthday, by the way.
It's John's birthday. So. Happy birthday, John.
Round of applause.
I was already the oldest one of this group. Now I'm like an overripe melon sitting there rotting on the vine.
Calm down, Orville.
Ah, humbug.
And I'm Reader Warrior. Kay's not here today, so who knows how accurate this episode is going to be. But today we're going to be covering Mistborn, Hero of Ages, Part 3, The Broken Skies, Chapters 38 through 40.
Do we maybe want to explain why Kay's not here?
Kay is currently attending Dragonsteel Con along with our often visiting dragon, and they are reporting every day on how the events are going. So if you would like to see that, check out our channel. YouTube.com/Cosmere Connections.
Who knows? By the time this episode comes out, it might be Dragon Con again.
Dragons.
That is a
Dragon
really
Con 2024.
We'll all be nose deep in Stormlight 5.
But Swiggity, you have chapter 38, I believe. Would you like to get us started?
Yeah, absolutely. This is where the epigraphs start to get really intense about just explaining things.
Yeah.
And this one's really intricate. So it says, hemallergy can be used to steal allomantic or ferrochemical powers and give them to another person. However, a hemallergic spike can also be created by killing a normal person who is neither an allomancer or a ferrochemist. In that case, the spike instead steals the power of preservation existing within the soul of the person, the power that gives all people sapience. So that's a very loaded line right there, basically saying that, like, within each person exists a little bit of power, whether or not you're, like, an allomancer or a ferrochemist, you can still get some kind of power from a person if you make them into a spike. And
not
we can
only
talk a little bit more about that later, or go ahead. Yeah.
Not only that, but we learn more about this preservation figure that we've been getting hints of, and how apparently preservation exists in all Skadrians. Just like, what?
Right. So, like I'm saying, like, these epigraphs have a lot in them now.
Yeah.
It continues on. A hemorrhagic spike can extract this power, then transfer it to another person, granting them residual abilities similar to those of allomancy. After all, preservation's body, a tiny trace of which is carried by every human being, is the very same essence that fuels allomancy.
Whoa.
So that's basically saying that, like, preservation exists, whatever preservation is, because at this point we haven't really had that explained, exists within everyone's soul, basically, and, like, everyone has a little bit of that power, and that's the same power that you get when you use allomancy and ferrochemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a conjure granted the blessing of potency is actually acquiring a bit of innate strength similar to that of burning pewter. The blessing of presence grants mental capacity in a similar way, while the blessing of awareness is the ability to sense with greater acuity, and the rarely used blessing of stability grants emotional fortitude. So right there we have a really good breakdown of, like, the different blessings that the conjurers get when they have their spikes and they're turned from a mist wraith into a conjurer.
Yep, and I believe now we have all the... We had only got from all the Tensoon point of views. But now we have all four.
So potency, strength, presence, mental capacity, and awareness is similar to like burning 10. And stability against emotional fortitude. So they're kind of like linked to allomancy too, it seems like.
Yes.
But getting into the... Oh, go ahead.
I should save that thought for the spoiler section.
You can't do that to me, man. Things. Oh, wait, can't do that to me.
Don't you worry. I'm gonna even write it down so I don't forget.
All right. So, in this chapter, Spook is watching the ska pick through a burned building. He feels less pain from burning pewter, so he has come to realize that tin and pewter are actually very well fitted to each other, since we know that each set of allomantic powers has kind of a match to it, an equal and opposite power, if you will. Tin enhances your senses to the point of every step being painful, while pewter makes you strong enough to endure that pain. So he wonders... He also wonders if Kelsier, since he gave him the blessing of pewter, could do the same thing with all the other powers and make him even stronger. The man Franzen, who had asked Spook to save his sister, comes up to Spook and says they finished picking through the rubble. Spook pays the ska, who were helping search through the building, because he's a nice guy like that. And apparently they found 9 skulls, which it was stated that 10 people entered the building and they only found 9 skulls. So Derm's suggestion of counting the skulls seems to indicate that
something
at least
special.
One person did not burn in that building.
Yep.
And the section with Spook ends with the line, apparently there's a way to save Franzen's sister after all.
Because it's not like somebody was... Because you watch all the people go in through the... them push everybody in, you see them throw the torch. It's not like they just say, and this person will be murdered around back.
yeah, right. We're saving this one for a back room execution. Special death.
Yeah.
I'm going to collect at least one of those skulls later.
Skulls for the skull throne. Sorry, wrong. Wrong universe.
Skull throne. That sounds
skull
like
from
a
skull god.
Death metal band.
It kind of does.
Yep.
Do we have anything more for this, or should I move on?
I believe for the synopsis portion of this episode, we can move on.
Yes, I'm good.
The only thing I forgot to mention was kind of cool at the beginning. It was talking about how like Spook doesn't even realize the mists are there anymore. And like everyone else is kind of working closely together and like can barely see past their nose. And he's just like, you know, feels like he's in broad daylight to him.
I got to wonder what kind of visually in like a movie or video format it's going to be like if we see everything from Spook point of view in this.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Just like the saturation like, turned up super high and it's like super bright.
Yeah. And you make different like day and night, because we know that Spook sees night as like 1,000 limelights raining down from the sky from the stars.
I don't know. I felt the same way about like the amount of metal that they have to burn too. They'll have to just vocalize it.
Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know.
Think like health the Dragon Ball Z auras where they're like aura flares when they're flaring their metals or whatever, and it can be just different colors depending on the metal. Because we know colors matter in the cosmos.
I can see that.
Oh, have him wear the blindfold. No, he does both. Because he wears the blindfold at all times, day or night.
Yeah.
Never mind then.
You could change it for the movie though.
Yeah, have them wear the blindfold in the day and the no blindfold in the night, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, switches to a Sazed point of view. where Sazed and Breeze and Goradel are at a ska bar, and Sazed remarks how strange it is to see ska going into the mists. They discuss how the fear of the mists was likely more caused by the Lord Ruler than anything else, and Breeze comments how ska will do anything to get intoxicated. So basically saying...
Cheers.
It's... Yeah. It's not that they were too scared of them before and now they're not. It's that they just want to get drunk. Which, of course he would say that because he seems to be enjoying the ska bars a little too much, despite being required to wear mundane ska clothing to fit in with the
Breeze? Enjoy a drink? Never.
Sazed has other ideas, though. He seems to think that more than being able to get drunk, the Ska are probably fine with the mists because they have legitimately started worshipping Kelsier, calling him Lord of the Mists. He's also narrowing down all of the contradictions in his religions, which is beginning to terrify him. So if you remember from earlier, he's got his list of religions that he's searching through and trying to find the one true religion because he lost his faith after Tyndall died.
Gotcha.
Some ska come up to Sazed and Breeze and offer Sazed a drink, which he promptly denies, apparently hoping to ask him questions in return. For example, why are they here and what do they want? Sazed reassures them that Ellen's motives are pure and that they just need resources from the city and that they think they can set up a better government that is currently in place. Even mentioning that despite the Terrace people wishing Sazed was their king, they've moved to the central dominance under Ellen's rule. As kind of an example of good faith. It comes out that the Ska have been following the workings of the survivor of the flame, apparently a new survivor-esque figure like Kelsier. Sazed wants to meet him, and the Ska tell him that he'll likely appear at an upcoming execution. And that's where the chapter ends.
So mysterious. Such foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I feel like we all know who the survivor is, though, because we've been reading and we just saw him. It's our boy, Spook.
Spoiler! Oh my god.
Oh my gosh, yes, spoiler.
Slap on the spoiler section. I just love it, though, because, like, literally, like, Spook was just this little, like, wiener guy from the first book, you know? He had, like, a crush on Vin. And then all of a sudden...
No, Spook can't be a wiener. There was already a wiener in the first book.
Well, they both have a similar arc, though, don't they?
Yeah, and I think it's... And it's nice to have, I guess we're just going to say Spook's the survivor of the flame, but the fact that Spook is now seeing Kelsier appear to him as sort of a passing of age. You are now the new survivor. Maybe sort of in like a way like the Old Testament becomes the New Testament. There's now a new way things will be done.
And I think it's cool that like...
No. But... But also no. But that's a whole different conversation.
But it's like, I don't know, like symbolically of at least where Sazed is at, of like going through all these religions and being kind of concerned that none of them have any reality to them. In a weird way, the one that he witnessed being formed, which you would think would be the one that he knows is false, is actually kind of the truest one. In like this twisted sense. And he touches on that a little bit. That's like why he's so scared to end his search.
I also want to bring it to the ska workers that they're drinking with, like no Breeze is a soother somehow.
Oh yeah.
And Breeze seemed genuinely shocked about this. So like, how did they do that?
I don't know, but like it mentions how if this town had like a halfway decent rumor mill, then everybody would have known already that he was associated with like Sazed and the people that showed up. I thought that was so funny.
Breeze doesn't do a good job at blending in, but I'm more so just surprised that he got caught allomantically.
Yeah, right. Well, he's probably been soothing them all night to get him to, you know, get free drinks.
Probably, but Breeze is supposed to be the best soother in the
world. I feel like you want to bring me a drink. Like you want to refill this, don't you?
Don't I look so tired? Don't I look so poor? Man, it would be a mercy to give me a drink.
Refill my wine, boy. Mm-hmm. I'll bring you the Terrasman.
You make Breeze sound like some kind of junkie.
He's just your drunk uncle at the Thanksgiving day. Yeah. You want to go refill this? I'll bring a clown or something next year.
Yeah. I'll Strange. Get you your super game advanced thing. Just go get me another beer.
Strange. My uncles during Thanksgiving tend to riot emotionally. It's not.
These uppity liberals.
Jeez. Anything else for chapter 38?
Nah,
no,
that's
think
all
we've expired in this chapter. We've not expired.
Okay.
Help the word. It's not there. It won't come. Explored.
Expunged?
Analyzed.
Exhausted. Exhausted. That's the word. We've exhausted the content of this chapter for now.
Yes. We are. Okay. Chapter 39.
Yeah.
Even now, I barely grasp the scope of all this. The events surrounding the end of the world seemed even bigger than the final empire and the people within it. End of the world. I sent shards of something from long ago. A fractured presence, something spanning the void. I have delved in search and have only been able to come up with a single name. Aiden Alcyon. Who or what it was, I do not yet know. Bum, bum, bum.
We can't really touch that without, you know.
See the spoiler section for more on Aiden Alcyon.
We can't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
This really is the Christmas episode. But fascinating. So apparently, even beyond
and a half foot pole.
Like even beyond what's happening in this book to like the planet, we just know that there's some unknowable entity that whoever's like talking about this has uncovered, and that's all they have is this name, Aiden Alcyon. They don't know what it means, but it's kind of important sounding.
Yep. Very quickly, can you guys check your copies of the books? Does it actually say Aiden Alcyon?
Swiggity has the same edition I have. Mine are upstairs. So
I'm fairly certain it does.
Because in first edition issues, as well as the one I got here in the UK, it's actually Aidenacium. They forgot the L.
Oh.
I know that in the audiobook.
So I just want to say to any reader who else has Aidenacium, it is Aidenalcium.
Aiden Alcyon kind of sounds like a metal.
Yep. Sweetie, is it Aiden Alcyon or Aiden Alcyon?
There's the L. They got the L. And I have
okay.
This copy then with the big
It's just in first editions, I think. Though I didn't think.
Michael Kramer pronounced it really weird.
The newest one.
Though.
Yeah, he did. It's kind of like Aidonavium.
Yeah. I just remember him saying it strange. I mean, like, this is clearly the first
this
time.
This is really first time he's encountered that word.
That word, yeah, exactly. Yet.
Okay. On to the actual chapter. Let's hope my internet holds. I might just have to go to audio only at some point. Tensoon, upon leaving the homeland, sees how badly the world has changed by ruin. He wonders how the first and seconds could ignore this, but realizes he was almost guilty of the same admission and complacency. He makes his way towards a thin forest and remarks how much he has grown to enjoy this wolfhound's body. Recounting the days of old, Tensoon remembers the first contract and how much it has changed the Chandra over the years. Tensoon finds the blessings he had hidden away, the spikes he took from Orsier's body. Each pair of spikes, along with giving a Mistraith the sentience to become a Chandra, gives a power. The blessing of potency, iron spikes, make him stronger. It came from Hemalurgy, a metallic art known only to the Lord Ruler. He would provide a certain number of spikes each century to birth a new generation of Chandra. Tensoon, now with four spikes, runs eastward to find Vin, the mother, so he can fulfill the first contract.
Ta-da. I like in this chapter how he talks about how he feels like he should have always been in a wolfhound's body.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was kind of cool.
Mm.
He's like the one, like if you think of the Chandra, to me they're all like super orthodox, almost in the same way of like the terrorist people are. They just follow the code. And he's always been this kind of rebel. It's cool that out of all of them, he's like so distinct, you know? And now he has the four spikes. It's just so badass.
We also saw they're fairly conservative. Yeah, they're fairly conservative. I mean, Milan and her generation, they were at least branching out trying like blocky Minecraft-like bodies or multiple arms. And when... The whole reason he got put back in the wolfhound's body is because they thought it would be a punishment of some way.
Which is like a huge theme in these books of like a weakness being your strength.
Yep.
It's kind of cold of like... him. Sorry, I was going to say it's kind of cold of him to like bury Orser's spikes somewhere and just save those for later.
But I guess he must have known if things went bad in the homeland, he would need them.
Yeah.
But that is sort of like taking somebody's... I don't know what even would be comparable.
Right? Like, it's not necessarily the bones, but like, I don't know. Would it be like the physical version of their soul based on like what was in my epigraph?
Yeah, their cognition.
Well, but it's not just that. It's also that little bit of...
little bit of preservation.
Maybe we should discuss that in the spoiler section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also do like how now we get a reason for why the generations are the way they are. That these were determined by how many spikes the Lord Ruler gave the Chandra. Like, that's such a small detail, like... only I've seen Brandon do.
Did how many spikes did he say he gave for each generation? Just a number?
It was random, I believe.
Well, no. In the little bit you just talked about.
Oh, I don't think there was any specific number in my chapter. I can check, though, real quick. Chapter 39.
You just read it, but maybe not. Not that big.
Well, I read my summary, I'm sure, the actual thing. The Lord Ruler provided the spikes each century, giving the number requested so that a Chandra could gift a new generation.
Okay.
So it's likely that the first would tell the Lord Ruler, hey, we need these many spikes to make these many new people, and then the Lord Ruler would ship them off to the homeland.
Do we know...
I have this... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Well, I was going to say, do we know how he got his second spike? Like, now he has four, but it seems like only one is required for sapience.
I thought it said two were required for Sapience.
We don't know that yet.
It took two spikes to form a single blessing.
Right. That's all we know so far.
Okay. Sorry, what were we going to say, John?
It was something about... Oh, if we knew how many spikes they got each generation, we could figure out how many Condor there are total.
Yep. Tenzin didn't know why it was two spikes. It was simply the way of things. Two blessings, and one was of the most... Da-da-da-da-da. He had now four spikes, two blessing, and was one of the most powerful Condor alive. Never mind.
Oh, it says that the Lord Ruler provided spikes each century, giving the number requested. So we don't know how many, but it's like the Condor gave him like a shopping list.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the thing I was going to say. I doubt it was the first. I think it was probably more likely the seconds. The first kind of are just like, hey, you do what you feel like you need to do, young man. Just leave me out of it.
Possibly. I'm just going to quickly check the copper mine for anything Condor.
Also, a person had to die for each spike.
Yes.
So,
yes.
In a way, they were kind of right to fear the mists, Wraiths.
Yeah.
In a weird, sort of. Like, roundabout way.
Nope. Okay. Never mind. We're all caught up on Condor info. Oh. I know where we're getting mixed up. Okay.
Should we move on, or do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, let's move on. We talk about it in Chapter 41, but since we've recorded that episode before this one, we're remembering it, but it hasn't gotten to that point.
Ah, okay.
Gotcha.
Timey-wimey stuff.
Mimbly-bimbly.
Wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey. It's up to Swiggity if he wants to cut this out. Here's some behind-the-scenes footage of the craziness that is Cosmere Connections.
It's like the books. We jump around different time periods.
Jump around.
Might as well jump. John, chapter 40.
Chapter 40.
Yes!
All right. Originally, we assumed that a Koloss was a combination of two people into one. That was wrong. Koloss are not the melding of two people, but five, as evidenced by their four spikes needed to make them. Not five bodies, of course, but five souls. Each pair of spikes grant what the Condor would call the blessing of potency. However, each spike also distorts the Koloss body a little more, making it increasingly inhuman, such as the cost of hemallergy. So, we find ourselves...
Wait, really quick. So, this basically shows that hemallergy is an unnatural way of doing things. This is forcing power where it shouldn't be. Whilst Allomancy is genetic, Ferrochemy we also know is genetic due to the breeding programs, but hemallergy is forcing that, and that changes the body drastically.
It's the meat glue of metallic arts.
Yes.
And if somehow you've forgotten, potency is basically the strength blessing, similar to Burning Pewter.
Precisely. And Koloss gets two. It's interesting because in this, each pair of spikes that grant the Condor, or each pair of spikes grants what the Condor, if I could read my own text here, would call the blessing of potency. So essentially, the Koloss, if you broke down a Koloss, you'd have two Condor in each one that would have the blessing of potency.
The capacity for two Condor. Not if you take a Koloss, you can't make a Condor, but you would have the spikes necessary to create two Condor.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. you would have two chondra if you take those spikes and you split them up correctly and stab them into two mist wraiths, you would have two chondra.
Yes.
Wait, do we know how that works? Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we just saw Tenshun swallow a...
I just didn't want to accidentally spoil something, so I had to think about it for a second. Anyway, so yeah, that's an interesting thing that I only just noticed as I was reading this. I'm like, oh, it's two blessings of potency to make a Koloss. Interesting.
Interesting.
And so notice how many more Koloss there are compared to Chondra.
Well, that's probably because the Lord Ruler needed an army of these things, whereas like the Chondra were more like these little secret agents that he would just kind of sprinkle into the population.
But either way, both of their species are now numbered. Without the Lord Ruler, they can't create any new spikes.
Well, they don't know how to anyway.
Yes.
But presumably an Inquisitor could do it.
Yes. Touche.
So anyway, in order to avoid risking spoiling stuff.
Thank you.
We find ourselves with Elend and the crew discussing how Inquisitors are made. Like we were just talking about with spikes through the fleshy bits.
Oh my god, they're us.
It's just like me, for real.
Set doesn't understand why it matters to them at camp outside of Phadrex. Norden explains how the statistics are too precise to be natural, and Demu asks how that relates to Inquisitors. Round and round they go until Ham finally realizes that the Inquisitors were so keen on hunting Mistings so that they could transfer their powers to the new Inquisitor. Set still doesn't get it until Vin explains that Koloss are made from humans in the same way, with the spiky bits through the fleshy bits. Vin checked living Koloss and found the spikes on all of them. It was a great mystery how the Lord Ruler kept them going. He just supplied new spikes and fresh victims. When they finally came down to it, they think someone or something is controlling the Inquisitors through this new art. Allergy. This is the part of the pattern of chaos and destruction the world has been facing since the Lord Ruler died. People scatter to look into this new information and how it might help them figure out what is going on. Demu, however, hangs back to talk to Elend about how the people who fell ill to the mists are being ostracized from the rest of the army. They discuss whether to force them to reintegrate now or wait until after the siege. They decide to wait. Then, they get a runner from Luthadel asking for resupply, saying the city is under riot and they need more troops. Later, Vin and Elend are watching the fires around Phadrax City. The watch fires, not like the city's not burning. There are watch fires set out around the city. The messengers from Luthadel were one of... I'm sorry, the singular messenger from Luthadel was one of four sent by Penrod. Ellen sees a pattern and realizes it is Ruin at work. Vin shushes him, knowing anything they say out loud can be heard by Ruin. Vin reaches out to the mist to try and use them to fuel her powers, feeling it should work, but cannot. She ponders this some more before going to bed. And scene.
Nice.
Good job, that was a long chapter.
Yep.
Yeah, but it was pretty... easy to boil down because they're basically just talking about what they've learned.
Well, it seems to be doing a good job of annoying you, Ham said lightly. Do we need any other point?
A great little moment of Ham being Ham.
Yep.
Our warrior philosopher. Philosopher general.
Yep. I love it.
I love how he's like, okay, so what happened? So why do we need to know all this? Well, in order to complete a puzzle, you need to have all the pieces. You can't finish it unless you know every single thing.
Otherwise, you get things wrong.
Unless you get things wrong, you might put pieces in backwards or sideways or in the wrong spots. We've got the poor mist-fallen people and how they're now being ostracized because... humanity's always going to form us's and them's.
I liked how Elend was basically like, organize a new company, turn it into, fill it with these Mistfallen. We'll worry about dealing with the superstitions after Behold Vadrix. He's just like, don't worry about that. We just got to get this done.
Which, in this moment, is a good idea, but in the long run, definitely not the best way. Because he basically just enforced a segregational act.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, but it was already, you know, happening.
Yeah, but it's a question of Elend has to immediately address this problem, and therefore the quickest way to do that is just to split the two groups up. But if sure, there would have been some fights if they had mixed, but most likely things would have might have gone away at some point in the future when they realize, oh, they're just the same like us. Granted, this is 2023. We're still having that issue.
I think if I was in his shoes, I probably would have like done that. Just said, you know, you guys need to get over it.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen.
And especially when you're dealing with how many things Elend is dealing with, it was the smartest. It was the best plan.
And it's pretty much what you have at that point. Like,
I mean, think about being Elend in this book. Like, he's got so much on his plate trying to keep all this together. The world is
he's being stretched.
Ending, yeah.
My boy.
I'm glad him poor and Vin Elend finally like reached peace in their relationship. Because if that was going on too, like,
oh man,
jeez, that would be torturous.
Yeah.
Not even Brandon's that cruel. Conrad. The name Conrad, it actually comes from one of Brandon's first roommate, I believe, or one of his old friends, Tim Conrad.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, there you go.
Apparently I know all the names.
It kind of sticks out, too, from all the other names.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no Doug.
But that's all of my notes for this chapter.
All right, wow. We're making time here.
Yeah, we're actually almost doing a normal episode.
I like the follow-through with, like, from way back in the book when they realized Ruin can hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, like, still having to trust each other.
Yeah.
It's like, Elend made to say more, but she reached up and laid a hand on his lips, quieting him. He seemed confused, but then apparently understood, for he nodded. Whatever we say, Ruin can hear. We can't give away
what we know. Warning. From right? The beginning. Yep.
Because this whole time, they're just, like, palavering. They must know.
How do you fight a near omnipotent god that can listen into every conversation? You don't speak it.
Yeah, right. Pray to an even more powerful god.
But what is a god to a non-believer?
A ghost story, basically.
Well, you best start believing in ghost stories, Vin.
Well played.
You're awesome. In one.
Good on you, Swiggity.
I love it.
Anything this else is going to be this?
Pirates of the Caribbean references.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Star Wars.
Jeez. Okay. Anything else for these chapters?
Not for the non-spoiler.
John?
I think we've covered everything.
Okie dokie, then. Well, next time we're going to be covering the final four chapters of Part 3. That's going to be chapters 41, 42, 43, and 44. Swiggity's got 41, John's got 42, Kay's got 43, and I've got 44. Kay, of course, took the ball chapter. Shocker there. But it is time to head into the spoiler realm. So if you have not finished this book, the entire series, or potentially the entire Cosmere, then we recommend that you stop here, because it is likely that we will talk about everything and anything. If you are up to date, feel free to stick around, because it is likely that we'll bring up details you may have missed or plot threads that are still yet to come. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a like, star, heart, whatever it is on this podcast. Don't be afraid to comment your own thoughts and predictions. We would love to hear from you. But if this is where we must part, And I have been joined by Swiggity Swoop.
4, 5, 6.
John?
99 spikes.
On the wall, 99 buckets on the wall. And I'm Rita Warrior.
That's and clever. Don't forget,
there's always another connection. Spoiler round. I'm guessing we're going to talk a lot about Contra.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing.
Okay.
Contra and Spikes and Koloss and Blood for the Blood God.
Blood for the Blood God.
Blood for the Blood God.
Okay.
Blood for the Blood God. Blood for the Blood God.
Ah, okay, well, let's go back to chapter 38. So, yes, yeah, spook. There's a line. I could have sworn there was a line about hemallergy, but apparently I'm thinking of a different one.
It was probably in the prologue.
Here it is. It was hemallergy, you need to kill the person. We now know you do not necessarily need to kill a person.
Right.
What? It takes all the way until Lost Metal for us to learn that, right?
Yes. But we now have that knowledge.
Can we talk about how similar the idea of like capturing a bit of preservation's power is to the way breaths are used in Warbreaker?
I don't think I can make that jump. I don't understand.
Has the episode for Sunlit Man posted yet?
Yes.
Yes, has, yeah.
And yes, we can talk about that.
Well, it seems to be a theme of like a person's breath in Warbreaker. A normal person's breath is a little bit of investiture. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And since we're saying that every person's kind of soul that's stolen through a spike is preservation's investiture, I think it stands to reason that there's a pretty big similarity between that and, like you said, in Canticle with the warmth that they share.
I think the spiking thing is more so of the investiture used, the keyed investiture. So the spike that they do the hemallergic acupuncture on to the person in the Lost Metal, I think they took away that person's ability to ever have alomancy, unless they were to burn Lyrasium. Like, if they were a misting, they have lost that ability completely.
That, to me, seems more tied to, like, their identity than the investiture itself.
Because you don't kill the person, you're not taking their soul. They're taking away the preservation inside of them. The capacity to be a misthing or misborn. And if you don't have that, you'd be a normal person, right?
I think so.
So
I wonder if he kind of changed how it works a little bit.
I think it's just, we've gotten to the point where we can now be that careful, where they're taking the capacity to be an allomancer away. So this person now cannot be a misthing. Like, if they were a pewter arm for whatever reason and they do this process, they will now lose that. Because we know that the person survives and they're not, like, brain dead, so they still have cognitions granted them by preservation. This is something we should be arguing with Kay, though.
Oh, she'd have some things to say.
Bring in that last bit.
I was also going to connect it to the line in Stormlight that I think about all the time of just honor lives on in the hearts of men.
Yes.
And how...
What if it's literal?
Yeah. In that case, it would be like honor's power.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the men or the parshmen, the parshendi. Not the humans. And the Gemites.
I don't know. I think you have a better connection with the Warbreaker one, considering that you are born with this power, you give it away, and then you lose your investiture.
Well,
and become a
drab.
I forget the term. A drab, yes.
So, we know that acquiring a certain number of breaths will achieve you a heightening, right? And
yes.
We know that there are other ways to collect enough investiture to gain those heightenings.
Yes.
So, it's not necessarily that the breath itself grants the heightenings, it just fuels awakening. Any investiture will give you the heightenings.
It so, could be that just like, because we saw in Sunlit Man, like everything, well, at least he uses it by breath units, so it could be that breath is like a constant
one. The way that works is a single breath is like a single. You could think of it like 1 amp of electricity. It's a standardized measurement for quantity of investiture.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we can see... Okay. Sorry. Basically, at 200 or whatever, you get this ability. And I'm sure they probably tested it at between like 199 versus 200. But it's just like maybe with Allomancers and... Granted, I don't know how an Allomancer you could do that. Or a Night Radiant, in which they keep sucking up more Stormlight. Maybe like... You can't measure that as well. And maybe like 10 giant things of Stormlight is equivalent to 200 breaths.
Well, Sigzil said it himself. How much Stormlight is in a gem? Is it the same from gem to gem? Does the size of the gem matter? Does the cut of the gem matter? How much they have? There's not a good way to measure that, at least not with the technology of the times. You know, today in the modern world, we have... You know, luminosity detectors and things like that. We can kind of measure the strength of light. But we don't know that investiture in the form of Stormlight works in that fashion. The only sort of semi-solid niblet of investiture that we've come across so far is a breath.
Yep.
So that's why it's kind of been made the standard across the Cosmere.
So to me, it seems like... way later. Like, just reading this, I just got this sense of, like... Every kind of people that have been created by a shard have then in them somehow like that shard's power, a little bit of it. And then like to access that power, you need to have a connection or like your identity needs to be connected to that shard. So that's why like once we start getting the medallions that like kind of fake your connection to things, you can start using other powers from other shards, but it's like all kind of the same thing, just like a different version of it.
Possibly.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of. It's the localized flavor of investiture mechanics.
That's the scientific term.
Like you can't power X with Z, but you can power it with Y. Like,
well, that's a whole different argument because we've seen that like different things can power each other. It's just,
Seems like once you get Purified Door, the rules kind of go out the window.
Yeah,
and they can use a lot of people can use the sand as a source of investiture.
Mm-hmm. And Nightblood eats Stormlight just as well as it eats breath.
Right, Nightblood don't care.
Yeah.
Well, that could be like maybe an anti-investiture thing.
Yeah, but we also know that he's not anti-investiture. That would be a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But we also know that if an Allomancer is burning a meadow, it would be the same thing. It would eat that as well.
All right.
Oh yeah. Shit!
What?
Brain blast.
Oh my god. Okay. Sorry, I'm putting some things together. Things are connecting in my mind. I am making Cosmere connections.
There's always another one.
So, mm-hmm. we have what? Oh. Okay. So, what things in the Cosmere do we know attract and consume investiture?
Shades. Okay.
Cheery, cheery.
Okay. Yep. Cheery, cheery. What the hell do they call them? The bug.
Not Kremlings. Oh, God.
Why can I not think of the name of these things?
Kay would be on this in a heartbeat.
Kay would yeah. in a heartbeat. She'd be all like, how do you not know this?
And you're the Stormlight guy.
I'm just having a brain blank. It's coming to me.
As I look at
they're called a Larkin.
Larkin, that's the one. Okay, so we have Larkin. Okay, and we have Nightblood. That he also consumes investiture. And then we have one other big thing that we know of that consumes investiture.
Lift
Canticle.
Oh,
right. Hmm. So we know what do we know about Larkin?
They suck it in.
They do. they slurp it up and they suck it in.
Do we know what happens to them? Do they? Because they don't glow with Stormlight. They get bigger.
Yeah, Cheery Cheery like literally gets bigger in that interlude where she's like where they're trying to steal the gem from the gem reserve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nightblood literally just exists.
Nightblood is something else.
Because is there anything on, like, can Nightblood starve? I mean, it's just...
Right, like, where does it go? Does it get stronger?
Yeah. I don't know, Nightblood. Okay, so you think that endowment created Canticle?
Wait a second. Dawn Shards.
Well, the Larkin are called the Ancient Guardians because the ones on Roshar guarded the Dawn Shard there.
But the Dawn Shard consumes Investiture too. That's what happened to Auxiliary.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Oh, shoot.
Is Nightblood a Dawn Shard?
No, Nightblood's not a Dawn Shard. Mechanically similarly, though.
No, wait. He could be onto something. We know one of the Dawn Shards is different. What if... And we
what
know
the
that...
the difference
endowment...
is that it's artificial?
Well, we know Endowment made... something happened. She interfered in the creation of... What if she, like, just shoved the Dawn Shard into it?
Because, like, as soon as there was nothing left for Nightblood to consume, it started trying to eat Zeth.
Right. And it did the same thing to Vasher and all of that.
Yeah.
And only with the power of a shard did it get full.
But we know that Larkin are...
Do you think there was a Larkin at the center of Canticle?
No. Something in my brain is... It's not listed on the Coppermine explicitly, but something in my brain is telling me that the Larkin were created as to be guardians of the Dawn Shard, to eat away the Stormlight of anyone who came in there, or the investiture of anyone who came in there, so that no one who was invested could touch the Dawn Shard. What if they were based... on something else, or something else was based on their design, and whatever is in the core of Canticle is a larval form or an incubating egg form of that thing.
Oh, that's such a cool idea.
That's an interesting theory. Yes.
That's like, ooh. It's almost as good as the idea that Canticle was created by the same group of people that created the machine in Yumi.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Which I disagree with.
That suck up. I mean, you can disagree. It's just a wild, harebrained idea. You know, you agree or disagree. But,
Okay. Yeah. But let's get back to this.
I was going to say, although we should cut this conversation out and, like, just post it, because that was some cool connections or theories.
No, leave it.
Make a short out of it.
Yeah, for real.
Okay. But back to the episode, back to the chapter. So Spook discovers that there must be a secret tunnel.
Secret tunnel. That
Secret Tunnel, which I still have not seen.
Somewhere Kay just sneezed.
Yep. But also that Quellian is stealing Allomancers, or potential Allomancers. But we don't get that reveal until later.
Yep.
Then we jump to Sazed. We hear about the Survivor of the Flames.
Nothing much happens there. Foreshadowing of just like Spook saying, oh, I wonder if Kelsey A could give me the other powers too.
There was that.
Did somebody say my name? I've come for your pleasure.
It's about episodes backwards.
Yeah. And it does sort of establish like how he turns that power down later and even gives up this power.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah. Anything else for chapter 38?
I think this was the chapter in which the epigraph, I had something I wanted to say.
It is.
I said I would write it down. Okay, so
yes.
We talked about the blessings and how they are made up of a pair of spikes. And my thought was, how do they choose which of the blessings it is? It's, you use a different, like, if I remember right, you use one spike of metal X always, and then metal Y makes
the same metals.
Is it the same metal for both spikes?
Yes.
Okay. So, how do you get the different blessings? Does the spikes that go to make a Chondra have to come from a misting?
No.
With that particular metal.
No, it's the same way they make Kolas. They can just be normal people. And just the combined soul investiture of that gives you that increased strength, mental fortitude, stability, yada yada.
Okay. So then I ask again, how do we know which blessing you're gonna get? It must be to do with the placement in the victim.
It's also the spike, like the type. Like iron.
But you just said they were both the same.
But I'm saying not all four pairs are the same. It's like there are four different types of blessing, but I'm saying one, each of the four can be different metals. Let me pull up the chart.
The handy dandy chart.
So it takes a pair of two of the same spikes to give one blessing?
Yes.
Okay.
How do they choose? I have no idea, though.
Give me a second.
Probably just say, could use a Chondra with the blessing of, you know, potency, whatever, and those are the spikes that they get. Because we know it's a laundry list, or a shopping list for the Lord Ruler. Like, hey, Lord Ruler!
So, Chondra blessing. There we go. Here we go. Blessing of awareness is tin spikes. Blessing of potency are iron spikes. Blessing of presence are copper spikes. And blessings of stability are zinc spikes.
Okay. I would just like to point out that the spikes have to be rigid enough to hold their shape when pounded through somebody. And I'm pretty sure tin, pewter, copper... Those aren't going to hold up.
Yeah. I hate how, on the cover of this book, it's like a railroad spike.
You got to make them thick.
But, like, we've seen in other illustrations, it's, you know, they're, like, way more intricate than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably depends on what the spikes are going to be used for. A spike for a Kolas is probably going to be less...
Well, that's iron.
...interesting than... Right, but it's going to be less ornate. Like, it doesn't have to be fancy.
That's a good point.
You know? Because, I mean... We've seen a spike made out of a piece of a like a broken piece of sword. You know, like,
true.
It doesn't have to be anything special.
But also, like, if the Lord Ruler has created these chambers where he has beds for people to lay on top of them, couldn't he have created, like, some kind of surgery room where, like, you peel off a person's chest, sort of like in, like, NCIS, cut out their ribs, and then stab them in the heart with the spike? As long as the spike kills you, right? Yes.
I mean, maybe, but then it has to go directly into the person. Like, we see when Marsh is made that they're just taking a spike, sticking it on a person's chest and going, bam, until
bam.
The person on top.
So yeah.
Maybe the spike doesn't have to be a spike per se. It could be a
piece of metal.
Of metal over something a little more rigid that would actually like pass through a person's body and
you stab them to death with a horseshoe. This is technically a spike.
this is now a hemallergical spike.
Right, yep. But like it also says that like for the Inquisitor spikes that go in their eyes, like it the brain conforms around it. So I'm wondering if there's just some magic happening to actually not have to physically spike it in.
It's funny what happens when you introduce magic into
something.
But if you
don't spike it in all the way to their brain, does the brain automatically change shape?
I mean, that's a question for the man himself, because he would be the dictator of that particular piece of arcana.
Because, like, we also see Sazed later just touch, like, a bike lock or the lock to a cage and stores metal in that. So I'm guessing the rules is, as long as it's metal, the magic will work upon it. Granted, I'm comparing ferrochemy to hemallergy, but metal is metal.
That's all we have, you know? Got to compare to something.
Yeah. And it's not very easy to kill somebody with metal that goes through their body without it being a spike.
Right.
Or sharp and pointed.
True.
Okay, anything else for chapter 38?
Nope.
Okay, chapter 39. This is Aiden Alcium is revealed.
Holy crap.
A fractured presence, something spanning the void.
In order not to talk for hours and hours and hours about Aiden Alcium, we could just surmise that it is the cause of all of these books.
Yes.
It is,
so
it is the source of all magics. It is splintered into 16 pieces, which become the shards that we know and love. In this particular case, preservation and ruin. And
do we really love ruin?
I mean, I do. In a way. In a way.
Yeah. You gotta love a good villain in order to love a good story.
Exactly. We love him as a villain.
Yep.
I mean, that's like the cut and dried basics of the basics of this.
I'm literally scared to talk more about it because it'll just add like another 40 minutes.
It's gonna spin off into oblivion.
See, long ago, Aiden Alcium created the Dawn Shards, and then for some reason, he created a crab planet. You think I'm joking, readers? This is exactly what happened.
Is it a planet made of crab, or is it a planet populated by crabs?
Yes.
It's also very warlike.
Mm-hmm. But
crab's gotta do what a crab's gotta do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's crawling here.
The crystification.
Okay. So we've got Tensoon. He leaves the homeland, finds the spikes, and these ones were iron. Yep. Which gave him the blessing of potency, which gave him enhanced strength, which I will quickly pull up what he had to begin with. That should have been obvious.
Presence, I think.
I thought he had presence as well. Yeah, because that was the whole thing about him.
Yeah, he would linger having that blessing. And it would become a punishment of eternal suffering.
Yes.
A fate worse than death.
Which granted mental capacity. Counters
than
some
the average wolfhound.
We're shorter than the average bear, boo boo.
How are you old enough to know that?
I knew a lot of cartoons. But less vulnerable to being controlled by ruin or an Allomancer, which is kind of diminished by the fact he decides to upgrade into four spikes, which gives him even more likelihood of being controlled. Yeah, that's all I got.
Isn't there something in Era 2 where they say that you can't use more than one blessing at a time or something along those lines? Or is it maybe just because Bleeder didn't want to have
Bleeder didn't want to ruin
spikes?
Yeah, Bleeder, Harmony, that's the one. Harmony could control any Chondra with two spikes. So Bleeder always kept one, only had one, which gave her cognitions, but also insanity.
But Ruin, we know, can touch the mind of the insane, which implies then that Harmony should have that ability as well.
But she's not, she's a Chondra, in which her cognition is only gifted through the hemallergy, so it's already being affected.
That's unsatisfying.
In which Ruin can't control the insane, he can just tell them what to do. It's up to the insane person to listen.
Well, I mean, that's fair.
But how's that for a better explanation? You,
that's more satisfying.
Okay. anything else for chapter 39?
I didn't have anything, sorry.
You don't have to apologize, man. That was good. chapter 40. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Everybody's checking their notes. Well, we've got them. What?
Go ahead.
Everybody's, the Mistfallen group has now been formed. A group purely of Mistings. That's going to be important for later.
Yeah, right. I still don't quite remember how that works, so I guess we'll just Raffo, I guess.
Do you want me to tell you?
Explain it.
Okay. That's me.
Bless you.
So everybody that got all the Mistfallen were snapped. These were all Allomancers who now have their Allomantic Awakening. The ones who were bed for 16 days extra, like Demu, they all have 80 of these things.
Gotcha. So everyone, the Mistfallen just are 80 of Mistings.
Mm-hmm. The ones that were in bed the extra 16 days are 80 of Mistings.
Yeah, those are the Mistfallen, I think.
Well, all of them are Mistfallen. It's just the ones that are specifically the extra time. Or am I messing up?
I think so. I think the ones that become the ATM Mistings are the Mistfallen, and the other ones who got sick from it are just got sick from it.
Okay. Yeah, then so, the Mistfallen are all ATM Mistings.
Elend inadvertently created the most badass army of all time.
Yes, through segregation.
I don't know if I like the connotations of that statement.
It fits in line with Mistborn, though.
I suppose it does.
But yes, he did just create a small army of future-seeing warriors.
And other wizards.
Yes.
I really like the idea of calling all of the people who are able to manipulate investiture wizards.
That would be fun. Silverlight novel. It's just, we call them wizards.
Wizards!
That means Lyft is a wizard.
It yes. does. That She's means an extra wizardy wizard.
The Lopin is a wizard.
They're seeing that Ruin has been keeping them concentrated on everything else but the fact that they should just hunker down. Ruin keeps creating all these issues for them to focus on.
Doesn't somebody also mention how, like, the food supplies have been getting sabotaged, and later we find out that that's the Inquisitor's doing?
Yes. That will happen in the next section of chapters.
Yep.
But also, Ruin has been using Vin and Ellen to lead him to all the caches.
Caches,
sorry. But that's why Ruin kind of wants them to keep in this lane, because he wants some of them to figure out where's the ATM so he can find his power, his body.
Oh, his body.
Yes.
Give me my body.
And then if you have a bunch of people that can burn his body.
It kind of goes nowhere. Goes back to the spiritual realm where he cannot grab it.
It's my body. I'll do what I want.
That's my purse.
And then Vin out in the mist wondering why they won't accept her anymore. As she wears an earring that this whole time was a spike, which seems really obvious in hindsight.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, God, I know. Same with the pewter spike in Spook, too.
Yeah, holy crap.
Well, no, his spike isn't pewter, it's steel, because it's made of a sword. It just provides pewter.
Yes, but still, it's so obvious in hindsight.
Steel's physical, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is why different metals steal different powers in spike form.
Yeah. Although, that's an important distinction.
My argument from earlier may have been invalid. Which is fine. I don't mind being wrong. It happens.
Happens to everybody, man. And there was one line where Vin, quote, she still felt an inexplicable desire to find the ATM. End quote.
And she's like, why won't you help me?
Ruins, oh, whispering right in your ear.
Oh.
Did you just have another realization?
The importance of what happens in Mistborn Era 2, of something that we take for granted, just dawned on me. Right? Like.
What?
Fully unrelated spoilers, Batman, but here we go, right? They're shooting bullets made of aluminum. What is the hemological properties of aluminum?
Nothing.
No. An aluminum spike removes all power.
Oh, you're right.
So, if you shoot someone through someone...
Okay.
You've just created an allomantic or a hemological aluminum spike... Now you make it an armor-piercing round that can make it through shard plate.
Okay, but also you question.
Shoot someone standing in front of a shard bearer. The bullet goes through the first person, breaks the armor plate, and gets lodged in the body of the shard bearer wearing the armor, the plate, and then just pff, they're no longer anything.
Okay, but
the bond is instantly broken.
Okay, I don't think the bond is
broken.
What would
that do to the spren?
I don't think the bond's broken. I think it just. Nullifies bond, it for a bit.
The bond is what happens, is what creates the power. And if the power gets erased, also spren are made of investiture, so...
But, so, this is where aluminum's a little bit weird. If you stab somebody, so if the bullet goes through the first person and it lodges in them, will they lose their powers?
No, because it's not a spike yet until it exits that person. And goes into another person.
Yes, but it is technically it denies investiture, meaning that in order for it to work as a spike, it needs to have investiture. Aluminum's weird, man. But like, if you remove it, your bond will still return. Like, if you have people going into like a MASH unit and like get the bullet removed, do they just like on the table just start glowing back up with power and rise up and be like, thanks doc, and zoom out through the top, just join back into the battle?
It wouldn't come back, because if a spike enters a person, it physically changes their body, it physically changes their it changes their whole spirit web. Removing that spike won't give them their power back. It removes their capacity to have, potentially. We won't know for sure until this happens in a novel, you know.
I think if you remove the spike, you should, because Vin takes out the spike and she can still burn She can still seek. She just can't do it at the level that was gifted to her.
But her spike doesn't remove powers. It adds powers.
Touche. So we don't know. That's a little bit weird. Yeah, this way aluminum's weird.
Yeah, aluminum is weird.
Yeah. That is, because I would think, like, nuts. Even if you get shot with that first person, I think they would lose their power as well, considering it's aluminum.
Well, the first person would... The probably first die. Person would lose their... Excuse me. Would probably lose their ability to use investiture while the bullet is still within them. Probably. Don't know for sure.
Because for hemallergy to work, the spike has to...
Vin can swallow the bead of aluminum later on in this book and still use other metals. It's when she burns the aluminum.
Yes.
That all of her other powers go away. But when she stops burning the aluminum, she's still able to use her other powers. So I don't know. This is weird. We need more information, please.
Aluminum's very weird. Because, like, when she burns aluminum, does she immediately use up all of the aluminum? Or can she continually burning aluminum?
All of her elemental metals immediately...
are wiped.
Yeah, we don't know where they go.
But could somebody create...
elementically inert, at the very least.
But can somebody create, like, an airwave? Imagine it's in airwave form, and at, like, a prison, where it's broadcasting an aluminum signal. I don't know where I'm going.
I don't think
that.
So.
I really have no idea what you're trying to express with that.
Maybe a sound wave, though, from what we see in Rhythm of War.
I don't know. Aluminum's just weird, man.
It is. It's very weird. It also, almost doesn't even bear, like, debating, because we just don't know enough about how it works yet.
It's
does
weird because
hemallergy work on other planets?
Yes.
Yes.
Hemallergy is
a Cosmere constant.
Yeah, it's a metallic art, but it's not like the other metallic arts because it is not native to Scadrial. It is,
and due to the,
like,
well, due to the fact they're all related to Aiden Alcy. Coming back, all of the invested arts can be related to each other, and that's why you've got Fabrials react to metals the same way that the metals can slightly be used to, well, be burned.
Gotcha.
And that's why so many confusing things.
But that's what's cool about it.
Have to raffo.
Yep. Anything else for this chapter?
I like turtles.
All the pieces being laid out, but none of them clicking yet.
I'd say we got a lot from what was given to us, though. Honestly.
Yep. It's a longer episode than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, right? And then when Kay watches it, she'll tell us everything
that
was
wrong.
You guys are
all idiots.
Of course you can't use a spike like that. Okay.
Because in Bava, yeah.
Right. She's gonna learn something at Dragonsteel Con and just come back and just like, ha, I know this brand new rule of the Cosmere.
I think Dragon would have enjoyed being in this one too, just because he is so well versed in how all of the different magics in particular work.
Mm-hmm.
She got 50 out of 50 in the little Kahoot game they played.
Yeah.
And she was second place. And so to get points in that, you have to answer quickly. So that means she got them quickly,
like
too.
Like immediately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just not as fast as somebody else. But you did good, Kay. We're proud of you.
Yeah, congratulations.
But that's going to just about cover it for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us in our ramblings and predictions. We cannot wait to cover what is next. This has been Cosmere Connections, and we hope to see you next time. Bye!
7, 8, 9.
9 skulls.
And that's how it ends.
He also wonders if Kelsier, since he gave him the blessing of Pewter, could do the same thing with all the other powers and make him even stronger.
Yep.
Foreshadowing. Who makes all these?
I do, and I practice with them for 3 hours a day in case I should meet a pirate so I can kill it.
You need to find yourself a girl, mate.
Or perhaps it is you've already found a said girl, but are otherwise incapable of wooing said girl.
You're not a eunuch, are you?
I've got a jar of spikes.
Nice.
I've just seen that first movie so many times. I feel like I could quote the entire thing.
I honestly have only watched them fairly recently. I was never a big Pirates of the Caribbean person.
Not a big pirate guy.
I was not a big pirate guy.
That and okay. Scott Pilgrim, I could quote the entire thing of.
Scott, have you seen the new show?
I've been watching it. Yeah, it's really good.
It's so good. They actually got all of the actors to be the voice actors. So that whole time, number two is doing like that deep voice. That's actually Chris Evans the entire time.
That's awesome. I've been watching. I'm only on like episode 3 though.
Yeah. They make a bunch of meta jokes. Like at one point he's like, "Would I die by skating to my death? I would never do that." Or like at one point, like he's like, "I can only get a job voicing an animated series. I would never stoop to that low."
That's so good.
It was great. Okay, back to Cosmere. Everybody ready?